Hi, this is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting this hour from the world-famous UFO Museum and Research Center in Roswell, New Mexico. And if you're interested even just a little tiny bit in the Roswell UFO story, I would recommend you coming by this place if you're ever in the neighborhood of Roswell, New Mexico. Very, very interesting place and very nice people. Our first guest this hour is one of our favorite people, Daryl Sims. You may know him as the Alien Hunter.
Daryl, last time you were on the show, you said you were going to catch an E.T., an alien. You're going to trap him, track him down. Well, have you?
Why did I think that you would ask that question? We have several scientists that are helping us who actually want to assist us in help catching an alien entity. They feel like, as I do, that in fact, if it's cosmically correct for them to abduct us, turnabout ought to be fair play. So one of our next projects is to get the tech together and see if we can't catch one of these little critters ourselves.
You going to keep us abreast of this, I hope.
You'll always be the first one to know first. You're always on top of things, so you'll be the first one to know about it when it happens.
Now, you don't really have an idea about these aliens, really, where they're from or anything.
We only have certain possibilities that suggested by the abductees. The aliens smell like sulfur. This is often reported, or they smell like rotten leather, moldy leather, or decayed cardboard. I mean, the sulfur is the big one that people often mention, and sometimes they'll smell on their carpet where the entities walked. They smell like sulfur. The only sulfur I know that smells like that would probably be inside the earth, and if that were true, it might give a hint where they're coming from.
Well, it's kind of interesting you would mention that. Here we are in New Mexico, full of caverns. And supposedly underground bases.
That's what they tell me. So who knows? I think it's fascinating that we're here. I lived in Alamogordo for 13 years, so this is my native territory. So this is my alma mater, I guess, of alien abductions.
Well, it's been a lot of activity in New Mexico over the years, that's for sure. And why do you think that's the case?
Well, I actually think it's in other places as well, but the fact is, Roswell gets a lot more credit because there's something incredible happened here that the government covered up three times, told three different lies about, and I'm waiting for the next lie. I hope it's better than the other three because they're just whoppers, you know. I mean, let's get something original, something that really works.
Daryl, I take it you're talking about the crash dummies. Now, that story, that fell apart pretty quickly.
It certainly did, especially when the commander of the project, a lieutenant colonel, I believe, came on the internet and said, why is the government lying about this? Roswell after 1947, that event, he said, our event, and I was the commander of it, he said, that event didn't start until 1953. So how'd they get Roswell? The dummies that we used, they were 200 pounds, 6 foot tall, out there to shrink and get small and land in Roswell in 1947. So that's kind of a trick.
Daryl, you've done a lot of work on this, on the ET, contact, abductions. I mean, you've even tried to trap an ET before. Are we talking about just grays, or we hear about reptilians and Nordics? I mean, what are we talking about here? It seems to me there are several species.
You're exactly right. There is a hierarchy that exists in the UFO phenomenon. The little grays that people often mention are actually, in my opinion, have an IQ about 80 or 90 on an IQ chart. And the reason I say that is because they often make mistakes. They're not very intelligent. As long as you're cooperative and do what you're told, they do their job well. But they make mistakes and put people in wrong locations. They often drop you off. We have people in the wrong bed when they wake up or on the couch. Some of them wake up outside their home and the house is locked with a double tumbler lock, which means you got to have a key to get in and out, and the keys are inside the house. Some people wake up on the wrong freeway when they're driving. We even have two people, and demonstrably woke up in the wrong state.
Daryl, on one of these shows, we talked in great detail about standing up to the grays, the little guys. I mean, not going along with their program. I think you told me they don't know what to do when you stand up to them. Is that right?
That's true. They often will make mistakes because they have in my opinion, they're like a 286 computer with legs. They're not very intelligent. Their job is just basically pick you up and get you back, do whatever it is, the basic stuff. If you make mistakes or you decide to rebel, You may find that you have all kinds of physical evidence, if you'll just pay attention to
what you're talking about. What's this about the black light, Darryl? The black light in ETs.
The black light is simply a system that shows that if entities have touched you and left a, they leave a physical trace, for lack of a better term, sweat might be the illustration, but they leave a physical trace on you, and that trace will remain for about 24 hours, some, rarely up to 2 weeks. If you can use the black light, you can see the physical movement, the physical touching of an entity. They glow in the dark if you got a black light. If you don't, you can't see them, because I think they see in the invisible range of infrared, ultraviolet, and the visible range, so they see the whole range. That's why people have not been able to film them in many cases. With when they think they may be abducted, they set a camera up, and they wake up and in the morning and the camera's been turned off. These entities can see in the infrared range, and they can see sensors or anything else on your camera equipment on. They can spot it for a
while. We're talking with the alien hunter, Darryl Sims, about the ETs, the little grays, right now. You say they have limited intelligence. I've heard people say they're not even human. Maybe they're robots. I've heard people say that. Theorize that.
Well, the fact is that one of our abductees wanted to defend herself, and she was crying, said, they're going to get my children, they told me so, and so I said, okay, I'll help you out. I gave her a post-hypnotic suggestion. She actually assaulted her captor and tore his eye cup off, and underneath it she describes something you might see in an ER with a, you know, when you see when someone is flatlining in the death or something like that, they have these little lines running across his eye. They were there, and I think it's either five or six different lines running across the ripped red stippled screen after she ripped the black eye cup off.
Cyber mystery. The mystique. Mystic.
Some kind of a cyber misfit's the right word. Organism might be another term, but I like the word misfit real well.
Well, I've always thought of these being as being extraterrestrial, but you mentioned from deep inside the earth earlier.
Well, they could be different locations. I suspect there. Here's a nice tidbit for your audience. If you'll type in the word L-BAZ, you'll find that's one of the top NASA geologists, scientists, and in there, if you'll read, you're going to read through thousands of papers, but in there, you'll find he's an outspoken critic, not critic, but an outspoken person who just simply reveals information about what they found on the moon. Look at the stuff that they found on the moon and what he said about it, because he's a NASA geologist for that Apollo team. And he says there were spires found on top of on the moon several times taller than the Empire State Building, and there were a lot of them. Just type it in and see what you find.
There you hear, folks. The alien hunter, direct from the UFO Museum in Roswell, here throwing out a challenge for a little cyber game to find out some information. You not only have lectures here, and I saw you do some self-defense things in case you were attacked by an ET. What else do you do out here?
Yeah, we did a handwriting analysis conference and a symbolic profile drawing conference so you could understand a lot more about your own self. I teach that as well. Today I'll be doing a workshop, in fact, just a few minutes, on memory retrieval and how to determine whether people are lying or telling the truth.
That brings me back to the subject of abductees. How many of those people are telling the truth and how many aren't?
Many of the abductees, in fact, were telling the truth. The few that we found the people that I've interviewed that weren't telling the truth were the people who are trying to hoodwink, people who are just flat made it up, and there are others who are just flat hallucinating.
Yeah, let's follow this up a little bit, Darryl. You know, we hear the story about the black ops, the black helicopters, evidently government agents coming right along behind abductions. I don't know if they're trying to figure out what's happening or whatever. You used to be in the CIA and in Black Ops years ago. What do you think about all this? What's the percentage here? How much of it's UFO related, ET related, and how much of it is the United States government?
I want to thank you for the opening for my book interview that you just unexpectedly opened for me. I'm almost finished with the book on fluorescence, and it will describe the intelligence area's response and how they're connected with the DSP satellite system. That's the satellite that you see on the enemy of the state, that sort of thing. And how that affects and goes along with UFO phenomena, how it proves our point to be true, and how even the DSP satellite can see cattle that have been pre-marked by fluorescence before they're even mutilated.
Okay, you have several books on your website. And we sell a few of your books as well, and DVDs. You're quite the multimedia guy.
The new tape I've got out, it has to do with the military intelligence cover-up on UFO abductions. They're all on my website, how to determine if you're... it's called The Truth of Hypnosis, how to determine if you're really an alien abductee. The best evidence, which has a massive amount of evidence that's never been seen anywhere on TV or anywhere
else. I heard one time you were in Roswell for the anniversary celebration in July, Darryl, and... some production company did a tape interview with you, and they gave you the whole tape. So that saved you a little money, huh? You got connections.
That's exactly correct, and it was the X-Files. The X-Files actually did an interview with me, and they have given me permission to go ahead and to use it. But what I would like to do, and we feel like that, and some of their people do, that we'll get full permission to go ahead and use our entire interview. It is just amazing, and I take the X-Files to task, I promise you. And they are very kind and generous and decent, and mentioned some wonderful things about the way we do our research. They were very impressed.
The X-Files, huh? Well, when did they come to you in the first place?
Well, they actually came originally to get me to do a promo for the trailer for the movie X-Files. They said, if there really is a Mulder out there, it's you, because you're ex-CIA, you're ex-military police officer, senior Korean police officer, hypnotic anesthesia therapist, and you're a licensed private investigator, a process server, so, you know, my God, it's got to be you. And so I said, well, thanks for the stroking, but that's not the reason I would be interested. I said, only if I can tell what I know to be truth will I do it, because the truth is not out there.
So we're here at the UFO Museum. A lot of people around waiting to talk to you, Darryl, so I'll probably wrap this up and let you take care of your business, okay?
I appreciate it. And, Jerry, you're good people, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. You're really doing an outstanding job in letting people know what's really going on.
Well, Darryl, I wanted to get more secrets out of you, but thanks for... a great show.
Tell one of my big secrets. Dr. Pepper's the breakfast of champions, and we do love it.
This is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the UFO Museum in Roswell, New Mexico. Marvelous Marv Grand Canyon Tours offers you a unique look at one of the great wonders of the world. The Grand Canyon.
Been the Grand Canyon area most of my life, so pretty much grew up in the area and know quite a few things that the common tourist doesn't know. And I need to avoid all the people and stuff and try to take them to secluded areas.
A day excursion, personally, conducted by Marvelous Marv.
Yeah, we started about 8 o'clock in the morning. We're done about 4:30. Absolutely. And I have a little photo CD disc for him with 1,000 of my favorite pictures and some video. And
no other tour offers so much, and no other personalized tour offers a better price.
No, I'm still the same, and I'm the most reasonable price tour of the Grand Canyon. No, $85 a person. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Call 928-707-0291 or check him out at MarvelousMarv.com.